Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Y ahora, en vivo y en directo para todos ustedes, desde la Torre de Radio de la Ciudad La Banda, Poco Podcast.
Oye, Fluffy, escuché que te encantó Star Trek, el nuevo Pokémon que anunciaron para Sun and Moon. ¿Qué te opinas?
Oh, absolutamente. Star Trek es maravilloso, no me debo usarlo.
I hate you both.
Underground Champions League, oh yeah. Let's go! Grab your friends, it's that time again. Yeah. Listen to the show with the phone and the friends. It's Bucko!
Bucko!
Oh yeah.
Bucko!
It's your host,
Trigger Dash,
and your co-host,
whatever you have.
Bucko!
Bucko!
Oh, yeah.
Bucko!
And welcome to the 256th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful co-hosts,
the Fluffiest Whimsicott
and the Lord Jashiro.
And we are here to bring you another Pucklicious episode of the Puckle Podcast. Thank you to, I dropped his name, AZCRXS. I can't even pronounce that.
Wow.
For providing this week's intro. As always, guys, if you want to be at the beginning of the show, you can send us a recording of your voice at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. So please do that if you haven't already.
And please enjoy our international version of Puckle.
Yeah. Battle of the accents. It's on.
And as always, welcome to Puckle if you're new, or if you're old for that matter. Thank you for listening to us. We are the podcast. Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, and we are a podcast that talks about everything Pokemon. Most everything Pokemon. Pretty much everything today, because I've got Jashiro. So
yeah.
Everything will be covered in good detail. Instead of my mediocre detail on the TCG's end.
It's getting better.
It is getting better. I have to admit, like, compared to like a year ago when we started the TCG podcast, like, I don't know how much people can tell at the beginning, like when we first started the TCG podcast, like when I was hosting it.
Yeah.
Remember that? I don't know if people could tell how much, like, I was just faking it until I made it, you know? Like, compared to what I knew back then, I know a much larger amount about the TCG. Mostly thanks to you.
Well, you faked your way into a podcast that's going on 9 years now, so you must be doing something.
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on that. I don't want to talk. I don't want to like spoil surprises. But I've been doing some work on the older episodes for a future project.
Oh.
And and so I've been listening to myself talk. Specifically the first 30 episodes, because those all took place in the first year of Puckle, and I've been listening to those, and I'm just listening to myself talk, and I'm just listening to my competitive advice, and I'm just like, I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I said out of the Sinnoh starters that Torterra was probably the best one. Was probably the best one competitively, and that my friend is a lie.
That's genius.
You also thought Ludicolo was the end all be all of competitive.
Okay,
Pokemon,
Ludicolo. So. Okay, I still hold high regards for Ludicolo though. Let's make this let's put that straight. I hold a lot of a lot of regards for Ludicolo. It's not like a great Pokemon, especially right now, because flying type has actually gotten moves now compared to Gen 4, where you had like, I mean, I guess Brave Bird came out in Gen 4, but you didn't have anybody that used it very well.
With priority.
Yeah, like with priority, exactly. And so Ludicolo was an interesting choice. Which, yeah.
I mean, I can trust that back in Gen 4, Ludicolo might have worked, but...
He still kind of works a little bit. I mean, you can make him work. He was actually... He was, well, I guess technically still is, semi-viable in VGC. Semi-viable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in VGC, totally. But yeah,
he's semi-viable in VGC 16, I'd say. I mean, if you run him correctly, you could probably make top cut of the Premier Challenge with Ludicolo.
Apart from him being a little bit ratio sensitive, I love him.
Well, he works really well with the Rain Dish. He was the only Pokemon that had access to Rain Dish before hidden abilities.
Yeah.
Put that into context of Gen 4. Not to mention he has Fake Out, access to Fake Out, which is just unbelievable to me.
I mean, if you see a giant dancing pineapple in a sombrero coming towards you, you're going to be stunned for a moment.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. He gets Fake Out, which is just, like, amazing to me.
How about an Alolan Ludicolo?
Alolan? That doesn't follow my criteria of Alolan Pokemon.
More Hawaiian.
Well, he's kind of Mexican right now.
He's a pineapple.
But with a sombrero, Jashira has a point.
That's and true. Maracas.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let me hardcore segue here and ask you guys what you've been up to in Pokemon lately. I've already gotten through what I've been working on this week, so I want to hear what you guys have been up to.
Okay. Well, I've been taking part in the Puckle Generations tournament. There was like a technical snafu, but Shamu swooped in like a hero and fixed it, and it ended up meaning that I had two battles in one day, which was pretty exciting. Shout out to both of my opponents. I had a lot of fun with both of them. The battles were really intense, especially the first one. I just had a lot of fun. I brought a team that sucked, but not as much as my teams usually suck. So I was pretty satisfied.
Yeah. Well, that's good. What about you, Jushir? What have you been up to? I know you've been doing like some real life tournamenting.
Yeah, I finally put my money to good use after purchasing so many cards to participate and start going to some premium leagues. I went to my first one last week. Did not go well at all. I was playing an Yveltal deck, and it just didn't go well at all. I have to say that two of the games that I did lost, I'm going to say it. I just didn't really draw well. The prices were not in my advantage. But there was a few games where I'm like, yeah, no, I lost because I had good opponents. We did go, me and Basket went to another one yesterday. I actually won fourth place in that one. So it didn't go that bad. I used a Mega Man deck, which is the Mega Man Electric deck. And it pretty well. It went pretty well. So I've just been playing TCG and getting excited.
Woo!
I mean, Sun and Moon sets are almost here.
They are.
Snorlax GX is going to be released sometime in November. And we'll have our first set in February the 3rd for Sun and Moon. So
absolutely,
pretty exciting stuff.
Please, let's not talk about the hype, because as we speak, I'm thinking, I have a 3DS set to Australia. If everything goes right, tomorrow after lunch, I will have the demo in my hand.
Is that going to launch like at midnight? Does anybody know?
If it launches at midnight on Tuesday for every time zone, then Australia is going to get it when it's like lunchtime here.
I feel like it's
going to
be for every region in a particular time zone. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know how time zones work outside the US, because I was enlightened about a year ago that China's just on the same time zone throughout the whole country, which is just nuts to me.
Which is kind of crazy, but when you think about the fact that like most of Europe is also in the same time zone.
Yeah.
But like Spain is in the same time zone as Italy, but the UK is on a time zone that's 1 hour beyond Spain, even though the UK lies east of Spain. So Yeah, things are a bit crazy over here.
That sounds fun. That
and
sounds
here
like
in the US, we have so how many time zones? Three?
Four.
Four.
Four five, if you, five. I think it's six if you include Alaska and Hawaii.
Well, we yeah. would have to.
Well, then it's six, technically. but for the 48 states that, like, hang out together, it's just four. I mean, Hawaii is just some island out in the Pacific Ocean. We're just like, you know what? You're a state now. Not to mention, I found out the other day that Hawaii has more electoral votes than Vermont, which just blows my mind. That has more political pool than Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont is not that big, though.
I mean, neither's Hawaii. It's just an island.
Well,
seven islands.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, UK, the British, is an island as well. It's pretty big. And yeah, Australia yeah, is Hawaii. A continent, but it's also an island, so it's a...
It's a vacation spot.
Wow, that's your opinion. Now you're getting into, like, no, Hawaii is just there as a vacation spot, okay?
For me, yes.
Nothing else matters about Hawaii.
There's no real culture, okay?
We've just positively just made all of Hawaiian listeners pretty mad right now.
I know. No, there's definitely some culture in Hawaii, for sure.
Some.
There's just some. Just a little bit.
Yeah, Thatch. Moving on to the next
one. Entire Pokemon game on it.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding, of course.
I know you are, but I want to make sure everyone knows, because otherwise we sound like the most horrible people in existence.
Yeah. We're not running a campaign here, Thatch, so slow
down.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go run for president and try to get Hawaii to vote for me. I'm gonna try to do it with like 27% of the popular vote. So enough political talk.
I actually understood that reference. Yeah. I'm reading so much about this.
enough political talk. There's been a lot going on in Pokemon lately, so we are going to go to the news.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And on to the news. So, in the news, let's just get some of the nasty nitty-gritties out of the way. So, first of all, Pokemon Generations are still coming out. It's Episode 7's out. You get a Gen 3. You got Sceptile pile driving a Golbat. And you get some Team Magma being a cult.
Yeah, a very, very creepy one at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh. Courtney was so creepy.
Right?
Oh, that exchange between Courtney and Maxie was so uncomfortable to watch.
Like, the entire time, it was just super uncomfortable. And
I was like, children are watching this.
It's also very true to the game, though. Like, well, true, like, so when I watched it, I was very, I don't know why I was, but I was very surprised to see that it was the Auraz styling, right? And then I keep forgetting that when we watched Generation 2 and Generation 1 shorts, right? Everything was very much based on the remakes. And I keep forgetting that, that like when the remakes come out, they just kind of like ditch the art for the originals. And then the canon for like anime and stuff becomes the norm.
It's much more noticeable for Gen 3.
Yeah, well, I feel like that one was just more recent, and that's why we're so shaken up by it, because at least with, like, when Gen 2 remakes came out, they introduced characters in the anime for it and stuff like that. So, I was taken aback initially. I probably won't be after this.
But yeah.
So, we probably have, like, two more Generation 3 shorts coming up. And then we'll move to Gen 4. So who knows when they're going to do their extra episode week? Who knows? Maybe in a couple of weeks or something like that. So here we go. Moving on, though. If you haven't already, go to GameStop/GameStop equivalent in your country and go pick up a Volcanion code. Volcanion is up for distribution. You can grab the codes until the 31st, and you can download Volcanion until the end of January, I believe. Something like that.
Yes. The end is probably the 24th in Europe, so European listeners, hurry up.
Yeah, go do that right now. Just go do it. Also, Keldeo, if you haven't already, just go download it. I sat down in my house and I just downloaded all the things I hadn't done.
And can you get a? It's only a GameStop or a game store promotion, right?
Yeah, you have to get the card from GameStop.
Okay, so for our Puerto Rican listeners, please let us know. You can send us an email if you live in Puerto Rico, because we know that there's no GameStop or any type
that
of game store there. So contact us. We have some of our Pocolonians do work in GameStop, and we can definitely do the favor of getting you a code.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a good point. Okay, so well, Volcanion's up. Pokemon Go had an update this week on iOS and Android. I believe we talked about it a little bit last week, but just as a reminder, if you go update Pokemon Go, you get capture bonuses for catching the same type of Pokemon. So it makes it really easy to catch those Pidgey and Rattata now, as well as Weedle.
Yeah, you can also use 6 Pokemon to train friendly gyms.
Yep.
And you can experience new and exciting bugs and crashes.
Yes. They also scaled the CP of the gyms for you as well.
Yes, which is important for new players.
Yeah, which is great for training and whatnot. It's great. Yeah, because I stopped playing for a while, so like I'm under-leveled to like the highest level people around town, and it's really disappointing. It's really disappointing.
Yep.
I used to be able to solo gyms, guys. I used to be able to solo gyms. I can't do
Back
it anymore.
Back in Gen 4.
Back in like a month ago.
Yep.
I used to be able to solo gyms. Not anymore. I'm just a lowly yellow guy walking around.
Talking about things, forgettable things, which is one of our topics, right? To me, Pokemon Go is something completely forgettable. I've just not turned it on in weeks.
Oh, exactly. No. I haven't launched Pokemon. I do it now. I mean, I don't go out and play Pokemon Go like I used to. Like, you definitely have those people still.
Yeah.
But I don't go, if I'm walking, cause like, I have to walk, about half a kilometer to work. From my parking lot. So, like, you know, I'm hatching eggs anyway. Just pop it open, do it. Also, yeah. It's a college campus, so I get some steps. I can usually catch about 10 Pokemon on that walk.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's 1,000 experience points, and that's all I do. I don't go out and play Pokemon Go anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing that keeps me away from it is the fact that it has to be on for it to work. It can't work on the background, and I know that if you purchase the Pokemon Go Plus, it's a feature that it brings, but I just don't want to drop $30
for that. I heard there's going to be a restock for that, because they're out of stock as far as I know.
If it worked in the background and kept my steps in the background, I would totally still be playing it, but nah.
That's fair. Well, the GPS is also still very glitchy. Oh, go ahead, Whimsicott.
Oh, no, I was going to say I have the Pokemon Go Plus, and it does help me play quite a bit more. But I used to play, like, I would put on the Pokemon Go Plus and just turn on the game as I drove to work and from work, and now I can't do that! Because at driving speed, Pokemon Go doesn't work anymore, which I'm kind of glad about, because...
Oh, it's definitely a safety issue, yes.
Yeah, it's so much safer now. But I mean, I'm sorry that people were being so dumb that it had to, like, take the game out for people who have the Plus or who are actually passengers. But, you know, I'm okay with this. Safety first.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so moving on, because we've got so much more news to talk about. Scissor is joining Pokken Tournament, only in the arcades right now. There still hasn't been an update for the Wii U version, even for Darkrai, who joined a few months ago. So hopefully they update the Wii U version. I would really like to play with both those characters. Scissor is coming, though. If you have access to a Japanese Pokken tournament cabinet, go play as Scissor.
Scrawn.
Yeah, that's true. Scrawn. Go play Pokken tournament right now.
Oh, yeah.
With Scissor and Darkrai, report back. moving on. For just a friendly reminder, if you want to play the Pokemon Sun and Moon demo, it will be out on Tuesday, so essentially the day after this comes out. Download it, play it, and we should be talking about it the week afterwards, or the next week. Definitely.
And if you are going to download the demo and you are planning to purchase Sun and Moon as a digital download, you need to get a bigger SD card than the one that comes in your 3DS. Yes.
Absolutely.
So you should probably do that. You know, before you download the demo.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so We're going to move on to the big news now, which is all of the news that dropped about Pokemon Sun and Moon in the trailer this week. First in Korokoro, but the Korokoro says the same thing, and I can't read Japanese, but I can speak English. So we're going to jump right on into this. First is the revelation of, well, several new Pokemon, mostly evolutions, actually, which I found very interesting. Is like that seemed to be the theme of the episode, or the trailer, at least. So first we have Steenie and Serena. I hope I said that right. Let me preface this with, I cannot say any of these Pokemon's names. So
I believe and we're the ones with accents here, which is kind of funny and ironic.
Yeah, but Serena is actually like the name of, you know, a Tsar's queen. So we know where they're going for.
Yeah.
The other one.
Steenie, who knows? But yeah, so these are grass type Pokemon that evolved from Bonsweet, none other than Bonsweet, Whimsicott's almost favorite.
It's not my favorite. I just want to protect it my life.
I mean, it's
because
so
it's
sad.
Poor thing.
It's so
and now
sad.
Finally, it has something to protect it.
Exactly.
Because
so you keep going.
Given it survives long enough to evolve, yes.
Yeah. It seems really interesting because, well, so Steenie evolves and then only certain Steenie that are strong enough evolve into Serena, which Serena actually has a lot of really cool lore behind it. Like I just said, only certain Steenie evolve into it. It gets the exclusive move Trop Kick, which I think is hilarious.
Is
play on words.
Yes,
so it's a grass type physical move, I assume, much like a high jump kick or something, probably. We'll find out more details. Also, it gets a new ability called Queen's Majesty, which just stops priority moves, which sounds exactly like Dazzling, but in another name.
Okay, there might be a difference.
There might be a difference. We don't know, though.
If I remember correctly, Dazzling prevents priority moves from affecting the Pokemon with Dazzling,
that
or maybe
right.
even just from damaging it. Queenly Majesty says the Pokemon cannot use priority moves. So
it's a little
say
stronger.
You're
I would say
Whimsicott using Tailwind. Mm-hmm. Maybe Whimsicott can't use Tailwind in front of a Serena, but it can use Tailwind in front of a Bruxish.
Interesting.
Maybe we don't know for sure now.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. Again, we're going to have to wait until these games come out to really know the full implications.
Yeah,
and then 12 days later,
go play in
an international tournament.
I think the text of the abilities activating is actually different. So there might be a slight difference.
There might be a slight difference, but that's what we got so far. And let me double check if I can get some Trop Kick. If I can Trop Kick some information about Trop Kick.
It apparently
head.
Has a chance to lower the opponent's attack.
It has an okay. Is that all? Is that all we know?
Pretty much, I think.
Let me double check here. Trop Kick. Yep, it damages and then lowers the opponent's attack.
How many energies does it need to activate?
Seven. Seven grass, and then one double colorless.
Okay.
That's what I'm assuming right now. So Trop Kick is that does sound like a TCG card name. You are 100% correct.
Totally.
So let me pull up my notes again. In addition, we found out that Jangmo-O evolves into Hakamo-O and Komo-O, dragon fighting type Pokemon, and they have a really cool design. I'm a big fan of their design. Also the typing, like dragon fighting, cool, like unused typing, and it's like, I don't know. I'm just a fan. What are your opinions?
I'm completely unimpressed.
What?
Really?
I know, because I thought, dragon fighting, that's so cool. Back in Gen 5, when Fairy wasn't a thing.
Okay,
I mean, in Gen 5,
okay, so what
this
are you
Pokemon
using a dragon type Pokemon?
Would have won everything.
Yeah, but in Gen 5, it would have. Yeah, you're right. But, like, with Fairy, so when are you using a dragon type up against a Fairy to begin with? Why are you doing that? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, some of them run Poison Jab and like to surprise you.
Yeah, but that's nonsense. I mean,
you saw what happened to poor Hydreigon.
Yeah, well, Hydreigon's still not useless. It's not useless right now.
It was like the end all be all of OU, and now it's at the bottom of UU.
Well, yes, absolutely. Thank God. It's called balance. Like, it shouldn't be like top tier. I think this is going to be a solid Pokemon.
I guess my main disappointment is that I looked at Jangmo-O and I thought, like, I saw a winged design.
I saw a heart, and I thought it was going to be Dragon Fairy. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I thought many, many things. Maybe Dragon Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Steel would have been pretty cool.
Oh, go ahead, Jushiro.
Oh, no, since I can't really talk about how competitive this Pokemon is. I like the visual aspect of it. I like the scales. I like that it kind of looks like a scaled armor, kind of like those Japanese scale armors, although I know it's supposed to be Hawaiian theme. And it just looks so good.
It looks really good. Also, I mean, so watching the trailer, I mean, I can't really show it to you because we're in a podcast, but watching the trailer, you watch it fight a Garchomp, right? And you can really just see, like, they did talk about this, about how they designed Pokemon with, like, their movements in mind. And you can really tell that.
Yeah.
Just watching Jingmo or Komo-o in the trailer. Because you can just see the movements and you just see Garchomp. And Garchomp's just like this lifeless dragon shark that looks like it's going to have a hard time moving.
And it kind of has this raptor view on it more than a dragon. It reminds me of a Jurassic Park raptor. And it's kind of cool.
It's just much more stationary than Garchomp, and so it just struck me. All right, so moving on, though. He also gets an exclusive move called Clanging Scales, where it just makes noise, I guess, and for some reason, after it's done, his defense is lowered. Probably has something to do with the lore, because when they lose their scales, it's like... Well, when they fight each other, they lose scales, and it's like a sign of pride for them.
Yeah, the description of the moves literally says... In order to use the move, they have to rub the scales together, and that would weaken them, I suppose.
Yeah. It's very cool, though. Very cool design. Moving on, though, very quickly, Cutie Fly evolves into... I am not going to be able to pronounce this correctly.
Riumbi?
Is that one? Is that
Ribombi.
What it is? It's just a bigger Cutie Fly.
It's like a bigger Cutie Fly Weeduck. Winter scarf. It's so adorable.
It is kind of adorable.
I mean, yeah, okay.
I want one so badly.
We know nothing else about this Pokemon.
What if the shiny has like a pink scarf or a green scarf?
Oh my gosh.
What does Shield Dust do?
Shield Dust. Let me double check. Shield Dust, I believe.
Oh, it's like
it blocks added effects of attacks.
Okay.
So, like, it blocks the ability, I believe, if you were to get burned as, like, a secondary effect. But the only Pokemon that have access to it are bug types. And they're all going to get burned. They're all going to die anyway, so that's fine. No good Pokemon have access to this ability.
Well, we don't know. This could be, like, a super-powered bug type.
Its ability is Honey Gather, so I'm not feeling too strong.
Ribombi looks completely useless, and I'm still gonna use one forever.
It's no Toga Demaru, let me tell you. Pokemon you might have forgotten about. Toga Demaru exists.
How can we forget about it? You mention it every 5 minutes, Thatch.
I don't talk about it every 5 minutes. Alright, moving on. I think one of the most fun Pokemon to come out of this is Type Null's evolution, Silvally. Kind of like saying civilly, but Silvally. Huh?
I think someone said it's like, you know that Japanese often make a contraction of words, taking the first syllable of the two words in a phrase.
Okay.
And so it might be a silver ally, but it might be short for Silicon Valley, because it's an artificial Pokemon.
I like that a lot.
Oh, wow, yeah, I like that too.
What's even better is its ability is called RKS system. The letters RKS, which is awesome. I was sitting in my office with my office mate when it came out, and so like what I do afterwards is, like, I gather my thoughts for the show, like, when these happen with my office mate. And so we were talking, and so, like, he just sits at his desk, I sit at mine, and I read the Pokemon website so I can get, like, all the little tidbits and extras about these Pokemon. And so I was reading it out loud, and he goes, do they really call it the Arceus ability? And I go, what? Oh. What are you talking about? It's called RKS. And it's just like, listen to what you just said. I'm like, oh, that does make sense.
Oh, see, you have to understand how this conversation went on the other side. I have no one to talk Pokemon out
exactly.
loud with, especially not in English. And so I was in the Puckle chat, and I was trying to figure out, I thought it was an acronym.
Yeah,
RKS.
Right?
And then Thatch was like, just say it out loud and tell me what you just said. And I was like, oh, mind blown. Thatch is a genius. And now you come and tell me that it was an accident.
It was legitimately an accident. But this is 100% confirmation that Type Null and Silvally are the recreations of Arceus that are man-made because they have ability to get some item that they hold and then they turn into whatever type it is, and then they have a move called multi-attack that gains that type just like Judgment.
So you can always
pretty much
measure the cleverness of Pokemon by how long it takes me to realize something. And after this conversation between Fluffy and Thatch went on chat, it took me a good about 10 minutes to realize what this was. And I'm like, that is very clever.
Right? That's super clever. I was just like, Game Freak, you got me.
I mean, I guess this does confirm that the English pronunciation of Arceus is Arceus.
Yeah, that makes me really sad.
Yeah, I mean,
I've always been in the Arceus camp, you know, and now
because
now
that's how the Japanese say it.
Yeah, they say that, and not to mention,
you know,
like the
let's
announcer.
Say the name.
The announcer in what's it called? Pokemon Battle Revolution also says it that way. Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's a disappointment, but whatever. I mean, they went this is how it would be pronounced in Latin because it's the god Pokemon. But
it's the whole, well, you can take it as it is. I mean, it's whole the GIF situation, the man who created it says it's GIF, but of course, you know, it's English, so it's GIF and whatever. Just say it however you want. No one's going to judge you.
There was a similar controversy in a fandom I followed this week. It was hilarious. I won't go into details. Anyway, so essentially, Silvally is like, you wanted to use Arceus, but you only play OU.
I think this also further confirms that Team Skull is going to be the ultimate good guys here. If you read the page on Pokemon.com about Silvally, because it says that it was created to defend against some purpose, and it's like ... I'm just like, okay, so it's the Ultra Beast.
They stole it.
Well, okay, so I think they stole it. Probably, or they either created it in the Aether Foundation or one of the two. I'm not sure.
Because Team Skull does not have a view of a scientific team.
No. But Gladion could have been like a defector or something like that as well. I could see Gladion being a defector from the Aether Foundation and going to Team Skull.
Yeah.
And Gladion, I mean, the description for a Silvally says when it meets a trainer it really trusts, then it will break free of its helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And be the awesome Pokemon it can be. And that one line made sure that I am going to play with a Type Null in my game because
if you're allowed,
I can see it being
a post game catch.
It's going to be like a Lucario, maybe. When you get it like around the 7th or 6th gym and it's only one gift Pokemon given to you.
Maybe.
You know how the plot always ends around the 7th gym.
Yeah.
Right?
I understand.
So,
yeah.
But I can't leave that poor thing prisoner of those that awful helmet they put on it. I have to save it.
Does this mean that since it makes so much reference to Arceus, would Arceus make an appearance in this game?
Who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a Deoxys situation with it, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's totally reasonable. I mean, the precedent for mythical Pokemon no longer being mythical, quote unquote.
Oh my goodness, I just realized it's yet another pun. They created a god out of parts. It's a Deus Ex Machina. That's all right. Awesome. If Silvally ends up saving the day in a big hero scene, oh my gosh, it's going to be so awesome.
Okay, moving on. The last set of Pokemon that were revealed were the Alolan Grimer and Muk. Alolan Grimer is just, they've both gone dark poison, because they eat garbage now, and they've changed colors, and then Muk becomes a rainbow.
Yes!
They also have teeth. So, fun fact.
They are poisonous, toxic crystals.
Yeah.
That, after they turn into a psychedelic rainbow creature full of dangerous toxins with crystals on it, it's all very 70s. That's all I'm going to say about it.
And then finally, last piece of news that dropped from this trailer, and I'll do this very quickly so we don't have a 5-hour episode today. We have Olivia and Ilma, two characters being announced. Olivia being the kahuna of Akamala Island. I believe that's the name of the island. She is the big kahuna there, and she is definitely going to have fan art made of her.
And oh, she can be my kahuna whenever she wants to.
And then Ilma just being further confirmed after being seen in the Legends trailer that was translated into English last week. So he is going to be the first trial captain. So that means there's 5 trial captains, indicating that will be more than 4 as previously thought. And
yes. Apparently the press played some of the game, and they were told by Game Freak reps that there are 7 trial
There's
captains.
7. I haven't heard that part come out of it, but okay. That makes sense. I can believe it. I mean, I don't, it could be any number and I don't honestly care. So that's it for what was dropped in the trailer. So also small Puckle news before we go on, go ahead and listen or fill out the Puckle survey if you haven't already. That is at PucklePodcast.com/survey. Please do that. If you do it, we're going to run this, I believe, for 2 more weeks. And if you do it, you have a chance to win a prize. We're going to reveal it. Hopefully next week we'll know. We're looking to get about 10% of our listener base in on this, and we're very close to that. So if we do hit it, we might cut it off. But just go fill it out and get a chance to win something cool.
And like always, there's no wrong answers, but there's 2 very important correct answers, and those are, who's your favorite co-host? You mark Fluffy and Jashiro. And what is Thatch? He's better roasted.
Also, please leave comments. Comments are the best. Comments are life. And finally, if you'd like a 4th monthly podcast at Puckle, go ahead and review us on iTunes. Currently, we're sitting at 226 reviews on iTunes, and Snag is just waiting to be able to do his show, and we're going to need 250 before we can release it. Thanks to those of you who have reviewed us so far. It definitely helps. It helps more people find us. And so if you guys could help us hit 250, that would help Puckle out significantly. Because I think around January, you're going to see a major shift in the shows that we're putting out. And this show will always be here, just to keep it straight. But we're looking, we might be doing more content with some crazy things going on. So that is it for the news. We are going to hit it over to the game show much later than I expected. So let's go quiz our co-hosts. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. We, of course, have our 2 co-hosts, Jushiro and Whimsicott. This is where we ask our co-hosts a few questions, and they compete for points. So now we actually have announced prizes for the co-host for playing. The winner of this round of Puckle's Poke Quiz will be receiving an exclusive Puckle hoodie. The Etsy store, for those of you listening now, is going back online. It should be up by the time you guys are there. There are new shirts there. There's a green Toro shirt. There's, of course, the old Puckle shirt, but there's a new Puckle shirt with different colors. That's essentially it. And then you've also got the Corsola Cola shirt on the store as well. So check that out. That is Etsy.com /shop/PucklePodcast. You can also get there from PucklePodcast.com/, and then click on the store link. So please check that out if you get a chance. Every time you buy a shirt, it helps out the podcast. Just think about it that way. There should be some more stuff there by then, too. We'll find out. So Puckle Hoodie, that's what you guys are playing for. Currently, Jushiro is tied for first with Bosefist, so we'll see if maybe he can come out on top. Gator is in a close second with 9 points. Snag and Shamu are both tied for third place with 5 points. And Fluffiest and Maximus are tied for fourth place with 4 points. So let's see how we can shake things up today. Of course, as always, lower your browsers. You guys can't use that information. You have to use your innate Pokemon knowledge. And
it's okay. My plushies will tell me the answers. They're Pokemon. They know this stuff.
And Fluffy doesn't need medication at all.
And as of course, as always, you get 1 minute to answer each question. And you have one hint as well. So we will go ahead then and ask question number one. Hopefully this is easy. I'm not 100% sure if it is. What is the only region where you cannot find any vending machines?
You can find them in Unova. You can find them in Johto and Kanto. You can find them... Well, I have no idea if you can find them in Sinnoh. I think there are no vending machines in Kalos, actually.
You sure?
Do you remember any in Kalos?
I don't, actually. But then again, I never pay attention to vending machines.
I do, because it's so much more convenient to buy medicine from there. Let me think. Are there vending machines in Hoenn? Yes, there are on top of the store, yeah. I think.
If it's a general market, then there is a vending machine.
I think it's Kalos.
I think so, too. Is it big in Europe, vending machines?
Not as much as in America.
Okay, there we go. It has to be Kalos.
Is that the final answer, Kalos?
Yes.
That is correct. That is one question down. So that's 1 point for you guys. All right. So we're gonna go with a themed question here now. So Halloween's coming up. So I figured I'd ask you guys, which generation introduced the most dark type Pokemon?
Oh gosh.
Okay. I feel like you can narrow out like two of them like right away.
Yeah, it's not Gen 1 or Gen 2.
Yeah.
Because Gen 1 had 0 and Gen 2 had like 2.
Yeah.
So
Tyranitar
and Umbreon.
So Mightyena, yes. In Hoenn.
Okay, so in Hoenn, well, we can't go and count them, but yeah. I'd say it's certainly not Kalos. I would say it's Unova. Because you have the entire Hydreigon line, Scrafty, then Zoroark. You have Zoroark.
Yeah, it has to be Gen 5.
You have, I think there's something, the Crocodile line.
Yeah, you're right. It is Gen 5.
It has to be Gen 5.
All right. That is correct. Generation 5 was the most, with 16 Dark-type Pokemon introduced. Gen 1, obviously, was 0. But you were incorrect about Gen 2. It's like 6. Actually, it's Sneasel, Houndour, Houndoom, Tyranitar, Murkrow, and Tyranitar. I think
Tuned for our forgettable Pokemon on our next topic.
Yeah, Houndour.
Yeah,
not
forgot about him. All right. So moving on. So you got 2 points. I did not think you were going to get both of these. So you're farther ahead than I thought you'd be by now. So wow, this question is
just fail now.
This question is your bonus point question, but it's going to operate a little bit differently than your typical bonus point question. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask you the question flat out, and then I will give you one hint for free with this one. It doesn't use your hint lifeline like it would typically, but it'll knock it down from 2 points to 1 point.
Okay.
Where I'll essentially give you more information for the question. All right. And then, of course, you can still use your hint after that as well. So we're going to jump right on in. It's a very simple question. Yusine from Crystal Version is chasing Suicune. Where's his hometown? Yusine's hometown, not Suicune's, obviously.
Oh, okay. Well, is the Generations anime canon? Because in Generations, he's from Acritic City, but...
No, in the games.
I'm guessing in the game, it's different.
Yes.
Okay, I remember him being friends with the ghost-type gym leader from Violet City.
Yeah.
So that might be it.
I'm going to go with that.
I'm going to tell you that's wrong, and then I'm going to give you more information.
Okay.
And now the question's worth 1 point.
Okay.
Okay, so he's from Crystal and HeartGold SoulSilver. Once you catch Suicune in Crystal Version, he will go to his hometown's Pokemon Center, where you can talk to him while he awaits you to catch Entei and Raikou. And in HeartGold SoulSilver, you and he encounter Suicune very close to his hometown before you catch
Suicune. Okay, he's from Celadon City.
That is correct. His hometown is Celadon City.
Okay.
So, Yusine is from Celadon City. It's an interesting factoid. I didn't know that until I was writing questions today. So, but yes, he is from Celadon City. So that's 1 point. So that's 3 points for you guys today.
Nice.
All cool. Right. So in question number four, then, let's just go right on in. In Generation 2, lure balls were introduced, and they had a blue color, as well as having a different mechanic than they did in Generation 4. When they were introduced in Generation 4, though, they changed the color of the lure ball. What color did they change it to?
I think it's either yellow. Let's see. I have a mental picture of all the Pokeballs from an article.
Lure balls are the ones that catch bug and water type, right?
No, that's a netball.
No.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lure balls were from the blue apricorns in Gen 2.
Yeah, I think the only green apricorn ball left was the friend ball. I remember because I love green, but there weren't a lot of green Pokeballs. And I like to like color coordinate Pokeballs with Pokemon.
That's interesting.
Yes. So I think it, like you said it, and I want to say yellow or red. Do you remember Jishiro?
I have no idea. It's sad because I played Gen 2 so much, I just can't remember.
This is actually Gen 4. This is Gen 4.
Yeah, in Gen 2 it was blue. In Gen 4...
I'm going to need an answer. Pick a color.
Go with your gut.
Should I go for it?
Yeah, go for it.
I'll go with my gut, yellow.
That is incorrect, unfortunately. Oh. The answer is actually green. They changed it.
Oh, it was a green one.
It was green. They changed it from blue to green, unexplained why, and then Generation 5, they changed it back. so if you
why
transfer...
Why do I remember having another green Pokeball to choose from then?
If you...
Is it like a
because the lure ball was green. The lure ball is green.
But is it like a marked green?
What do you mean by marked green?
The friend ball is marky green, like
I don't know what
dark green.
That means. It's like a I would say like a sea green, maybe. I don't know. I only have like
color.
8 crayons in the box. Okay.
Okay, you're a man. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I got
8 crayons in the box, and it's not a color of one of the cities in the Pokemon world. Okay.
Yeah, I only know like 7 colors.
So
you're guys. Like I bet you don't know what a Peridot.
No,
color
not
is.
At all.
No, baby, this is fuchsia. You mean pink? No, yeah. Oh, purple.
Yeah.
No, it's fuchsia. I give up.
Yep.
It's magenta.
Oh god, let's stop. Okay, so the answer is green. They did change it back, and in Gen 6 as well, it's green. Or no, blue. It's blue in 5 and 6. It's really weird. Final question. Which ghost type Pokemon has the highest attack stat? Highest base attack stat? As always, this includes Megas.
I think it's Mega Bonette, and if we answer this without the hint, we get the extra point, right?
Fine.
Yes.
I'll make that a rule.
You did it for Bo and Gator, so we have to. I'm 95% sure it's Mega Banette. You sure?
Yeah, me too. I'm actually pretty sure too. It's Mega Banette.
That is the correct. Yeah. Banette is the highest attack stat. It has a base 165 attack. Woo. And I'll give you extra point because that's what you asked for. Now nobody's going to use the hint. okay, so that gives you 5 points this week. So that actually bumps you guys up quite a bit. So there are new standings now. So in first place is Jushiro with 15 points.
Gracias.
In second place, we have Bosifus with 10 points. Tied for third are Gator and Fluffiest with 9 points. Tied for fourth place, we have Professor Snag and Dr. Shamu with 5 points. And in seventh, Mr. Maximus with 4 points. And everybody else has yet to get on the board. So that's where we're at right now. Jushiro is halfway to getting a Puckle hoodie right now.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. So tune in next week to hear some more Puckle's Poke Quiz. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you guys with the topic.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome back, guys. Here we are with the topic. Our topic today are Pokemon that you've probably already forgotten about in Pokemon Sun and Moon. it has been a wild ride of news these past few weeks, and I'm kind of getting tired of just doing newsy topics. And so, because I knew we were going to do a longer discussion about the news, I figure we've been doing these short topics in these weeks leading up, because we've only got like 4 more weeks until the Sun and Moon drop. So just imagine, there's at least going to be 1 more trailer before then, and not to mention we have the demo next week. So that's 3 episodes of unplanned content right now. One of them's probably going to be a trailer, and you know, it's crazy.
And we can finally move on to Gen 4 confirmed.
Oh my gosh,
oh, no,
please don't.
Please. Oh no.
Please don't. And so let's dig on in, because there's just, I couldn't believe how many Pokemon I had forgotten were already announced in Pokemon Sun and Moon because of all of this news that we got. So I'm sure that some of you are going to be like, I totally remember that Pokemon. It's my favorite reveal. Well, these are Pokemon I personally forgot about until quite recently. all right. So, because I originally wanted to do an episode on Pokemon and Sun and Moon that we think should evolve or get evolutions. I mean, we could still speculate this, right? But then I just saw so many Pokemon I forgot about. So this it changed topic. So I think the first one to bring out is Kamala.
Oh, absolutely.
This was one of the first Pokemon revealed, and I 100% forgot about Kamala.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it. Like, in the trailers, you get a lot of Pokemon that you see, like, battling the new ones they reveal and stuff like that. Kamala has been in none of these.
Yeah,
he's only in, like, in the corner in a piece of art. It's...
Yeah. I really am excited for this Pokemon, though. It was great. It was like getting Sun and Moon news all over again when I went to the page to see the Pokemon. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a Pokemon. I'm excited.
I cannot get over the fact that they're revealing so much stuff beforehand that they're making this Pokemon forgotten before their game is even
right. Like, I legitimately forgot about Kamala, and
me
I mean,
too.
He's hugging this little log, and he's so adorable. How do I forget about him? He also has the ability Comatose, which prevents him from having any kind of status condition except for sleep. Which is really silly, and I hope I honestly hope he gets an evolution to like a Conkeldurr version of a koala bear, where he smacks things with like 2 logs.
Well, I hope
or a koala in a hammock.
Ooh, no, I'm hoping for like a koala, Maybe it's like one of those guys from, I am going to be somewhat racially insensitive here, from Scotland,
you?
I believe.
Nah.
From Scotland, where they like throw the logs? That's Scotland, right?
No. Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I got it right. I want him to evolve into a bigger koala wearing a kilt with a log that he's about to throw.
That would actually be really cool.
Right?
It's, you know, when you dress Pokemon, things always get weird. So, maybe skip the cult.
It's not weird anytime Pokemon get clothing, because Rowlet wears a bow tie.
Machamp. Yeah. Argument closed.
Okay, yeah. that one's weird.
Have you guys seen the meme where it's like sleeping with your Pikachu? Cute. Sleeping with your Machoke? Weird.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely weird. Other Pokemon that we might have forgotten about. I think on my list is Drampa next. Drampa.
Really?
I forgot about him because he's like this normal dragon, and he didn't get like a lot of fanfare when he was revealed, you know? He was just a normal dragon type.
Like 9 other Pokemon.
Yeah, that was the problem. I mean, I feel like all the Pokemon I'm addressing right now were just revealed very early on. And they just haven't talked about them since. And
that's true.
So Drampa, like, I also think he should have like a pre-evolution or an evolution of some sort. I don't know. I would like him to be a not single stage.
Yeah, I can see a pre-evolution for him.
He could possibly end up being like the Dunsparce of this.
Except he's a dragon type.
Well, it
would also be really cool if he evolved from Dunsparce. Just throwing that out there. They have very similar coloring.
They don't look anything like each other.
They look so like each other. Wouldn't it be so nice for Dunsparce to evolve into Drampa? Also, no. Drampa gets Sap Sipper? What is this nonsense?
We'd have another Remoraid Octillery situation on my hand, and I haven't gotten over that, and it's been like 18 years since Gen 2.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's very fair. Ooh, I have one. Okay. This Pokemon, it's not that it's... I've forgotten. I just forgot that this Pokemon is Gen 7 at all, and it's Magearna.
Oh my gosh, yes. 100%.
Oh my goodness.
Because it's out in the TCG already.
Yeah,
the card's out. We can play it. And it's like, wait. But every time I pull up the new Pokemon page in Serebii.net, it's like, wait, Magearna is Gen 7. That's right. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, right? We haven't even gotten the movie for that yet, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I want to watch the movie, okay? Give me the movie, Nintendo. I know it's dubbed. Okay? I know
just
it's dubbed.
Just disappoint me already, Nintendo. I just wanted to be disappointed again.
Yeah.
Just now.
I have one that was revealed very recently and that everyone has already forgotten about except me.
Which
for
one?
A very specific reason.
Is it Morlul? Yep.
Yes.
I have that one written down as well. Yes, Morlul, totally forgettable because, I mean, it needs to evolve or something. It's just nothing special. There's like nothing special about it at all.
The only special thing about it is that it stole exclusivity from Whimsicott's typing.
Yes.
So
there's nothing cool about it. In my opinion, at least. Maybe there's like that one guy that's like, man, I'm super hyped for Morlul, and I like to imagine him being a giant biker, and he's just like, Morlul's my favorite, and it's just I'm gonna get a tattoo of Morlul, and then.
It's kind of cute, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Another one, Wimpod. Anybody forget about Wimpod? Because his ability's awful and nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Because he just leaves when his health goes below a half. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I'll raise your Wimpod with Minior.
Minior, I did not forget about Minior, and for one specific reason.
The Japanese trailers.
Not the Japanese trailers. They re-released... Before that came out, they actually... Well, no, it was in Japan first. Never mind. But when they're doing those trailers with like the characters from Japan, which they should definitely do a third of if they haven't already, and I assume they did.
They are so adorable.
Oh my gosh. When I watched it with Misty, she cried. I'm not even kidding.
She cried a lot.
She cried because she's like it's so sad. I'm just
the
like
the scene with Meteor. I there were buckets involved. I
it
swear.
It means shooting star.
Yes, that's a shot.
And that I cannot forget Meteor for that reason.
Me too, but I'm assuming most people don't watch the Japanese YouTube. So
well, it's on the U.S. YouTube now. There's it's I mean it's all in the same language anyway, because
I have no idea what video you guys are talking about.
Okay, so there are two videos. So you remember the Japanese trailer?
Yeah.
The original Japanese Sun and Moon trailer? Why didn't we get that one? So they've released that on the US Pokemon channel. And but also before then, there was a there's like an episode 2 to this trailer where like they play Sun and Moon and like the Japanese kid gets really upset because he's like losing all these Pokemon battles. And,
his
friend is just like, ha, 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 and, like, all playfully, not anything, like, aggressive. Like, hey, I beat you. You're really bad today. And the kid just gets really upset, leaves, and, like, there's a whole thing about them, like, becoming friends again.
Yeah, yeah, like, now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, for some reason, I was picturing all of this in-game.
No.
I'm like, I don't remember any of this. But, yeah, okay. The live-action commercials.
Yeah, those are really good. I hope there's a third one. I really hope there's a third one.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lunch one with that.
Yeah, I just hope there's another one because those are just amazing to watch. And to be fair, they've only got to hype me up, or I just have to like keep my hype levels to a reasonable level until for like the next 4.5 weeks, and everything will be good.
Yeah,
because I'm just trying to satiate it. Because like this week we get the demo. The week after that, the 3DS drops.
Mm-hmm. Evolution comes out too.
Yeah, Evolution. Well, I'm gonna go to a pre-release for that next week, actually. And they're along with the premiere challenge. So if anybody is in Ohio and wants to go to one of those, let me know. I'll be there. And then, but there's just so much. Anything else you guys think is forgettable? Cause I have like one more.
At this point, I think maybe, I mean, I know people are super hyped about it online, but honestly, Salandit.
Yeah, I agree. I think Salandit, I forget about Salandit all the time.
Me too.
I'm not going to lie. He's another one that I think needs an evolution of some sort.
No, for sure. It definitely needs an evolution. Now, I have one that it's not that I have forgotten, it's that I wish I could forget, but because of the circumstances we're going through right now, we're constantly reminded of it, and that's Gumshoes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Why? Donald Trump's paying Nintendo. That's why. It's campaign advertising at this point. I mean,
and it's not, and it's, this has nothing to do with political, anything. It's just that they look so alike, and I know it must not have been intentional, but come on.
Yeah, the coincidence is
amazing. Gumshoes is going to be huge. Okay. So,
and the fact that the pre-evolution called Yungoos doesn't help either.
Yeah.
There's one Pokemon I wish I could forget.
Which one?
Because I dislike its design immensely.
Okay.
It's Turtonator.
Okay. I don't know. Like, I feel like Turtonator is almost forgettable in itself.
It is rather, I mean, I wish I could forget it. It's so ugly that I can't forget it, even though it is forgettable and it doesn't even look like a Pokemon to me.
I was going to say, this Turtonator looks more like a yokai.
Ah, you this are kind of right.
Yeah.
Looks like a fake Pokemon.
Yeah, it looks like it definitely looks straight like out of a yokai
now
game.
You mentioned it. Yeah, I'm thinking Yokai Watch.
Yeah.
To be fair, the entire game, apparently with the reviews that are coming out, because, you know, the press got to play it, they're saying it the game feels like Yo-Kai Watch.
Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised with. You and I talked about this previously about how, like, you know, they're definitely feeling pressure from Yo-Kai Watch.
Mm-hmm. You can't really blame Nintendo.
I mean, to be fair, like, Yo-Kai Watch didn't take off in the U.S., and I didn't think it would. It's just because it's very culturally Japanese. Where Pokemon is definitely much more universal.
Mm-hmm.
But
it already has the Pokemon name, so they're sure that in the US it's going to sell more. They have to make sure they regain Japan back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is bad at all. Like, this is 100% what Yo-Kai Watch was supposed to do with Pokemon. It was supposed to push it to make it a better game.
And maybe you can agree with me that since you and me are probably the only ones in the in the whole puckle that play Yo-Kai Watch.
I haven't bought the second one.
I haven't either. But the one thing that I really dislike about Yo-Kai Watch was the fighting mechanics. The combat, right? It's awful.
I hate Pokemon doesn't have that. Yeah, exactly. Literally the one thing that would have made Yo-Kai Watch better, they needed to do like one small tweak. If they would have had a capture mechanic like Pokemon,
yeah,
instead of like your standard like what game was it? I would say it's Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter where they like randomly join you. It wasn't specifically Monster Hunter. It was Monster Hunter. It was the Monster Hunter that was Pokemon.
I didn't play that one.
It was from like the '90s.
Yeah, everything other than the capture mechanic and the fighting mechanic in Yo-Kai was really good. I mean, the story went around pretty well and everything was pretty good. So it's not a bad thing that Pokemon is taking from that as long as they leave the combat and the capture mechanic what makes it Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. If they would have had a better capture mechanic in Yo-Kai Watch, I would have been scared of it. But when I got there and I'm like, oh, this is just standard RPG, randomly join you. This isn't going to fly, you know? I don't think this is going to take off at all because the monsters aren't as easily accessible. And so
yeah, it's all luck.
But we could save that for another episode, another time.
In our review of Sun and Moon.
I can't wait for Sun and Moon to drop. I'm so hyped for this. You don't even understand. Like I'm basing my life around that weekend.
Same here. I already said that I'm stacking up in snacks, a really hot blanket, and some adult beverages, and I'm probably not going to even remember what I played in Sun and Moon by Monday. But that's my weekend right there.
So I am lucky enough to be in one of the best relationships ever with Misty, and so like our lives revolve around very very little things. And the one thing that we do is we're very good about just like doing our own thing. And like, it's like having a really good roommate that you've known for a while. And so like she gets into video games. She plays way more games than I do. Like I focus on Pokemon, you know? So like I play Pokemon things, the occasional Yo-Kai Watch and Fire Emblem, you know? And once every 5 years, apparently Zelda. So, you know, we'll just go do our own thing. I'll go, like, work on something in the office. She'll go play her game. And then, you know, a couple hours later, I'll walk downstairs and be like, you want to order a pizza? Sure, I'll order a pizza. So I know absolutely what's happening that weekend. We're going to record, like we always do, when games come out. We're going to do our two-hour show at, like, 2 o'clock on that Saturday. And then afterwards, I'm going to go sit on my couch downstairs. We're going to order a pizza. And I'm just going to play Pokemon the rest of that weekend. 100% what's happening.
You know, I'm probably a terrible person because my boyfriend occasionally has to go away for most of the weekend due to work things. And I'm praying and praying and praying that the weekend Sun and Moon drops is going to be one of them. I'm a terrible girlfriend, I know.
It's fine. It's fine. Just indoctrinate him. I know you've tried and it didn't work, but it's fine.
I didn't even try because he's just really not into this thing.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not for everyone. The lifestyle's not for everyone. All right. That's it for the topic today, guys. We are going to take a short break, take it to commercial, and then we'll come back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. So we will catch you on the flip-flop.
Have you been having a hefty hankering for some hot powdered ham for $8.88? Or maybe some delicious deli bird deli sandwiches for only $4.99? Well, if so, hop your way on over to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse for all of our all-you-can-eat specials. Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
Episode. And welcome back to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex 457, Lumineon, the Neon Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Diamond Pokedex entry states, it lives on the deep sea floor. It attracts prey by flashing the patterns on its four tail fins. And now I want you all to pull out a picture of Lumineon if you're not driving. And to look this thing in the face and to realize that this thing has prey.
It's like so mellow.
It's a hunter. It eats living things.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
How? What this is Pokemon, going on?
This Pokemon looks like it's native to Colorado or Washington.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I think I get what you mean.
Also, in addition, it's like, so looking at his move pool and trying to figure out what niches it can fill in competitive play, it looks like Lumineon, like, even the developers forgot about it because I think they were going to make it a water flying type and then just stopped. And because it's just got access to all of these water and flying type moves. I assume it has something to do with its design.
Yes, because the fins look like butterfly wings.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it's based on a freshwater butterfly fish. That's what it looks like. And so I guess, I mean, they could have made it the water bug type even. That would have been really cool, right? That would have been sweet.
Yeah.
Lumineon's like a bunch of missed opportunities right now.
It gets U-turn, signal beam.
Yeah.
And what was it? Silverwind. So yeah, it was, okay, guys, let's make it a water flying type. No, you know what? I think it should be a water bug type. No, water flying. No, water bug. Shut up. It's going to be a plain water type.
No. Before they finished the argument, they forgot about it. And,
maybe.
It also has, it has access to Defog, which is really interesting. So, I mean, that's probably the only good thing it's for. It has a base speed of 91 and its special attack is 69.
Again, everything you're saying comes back to it's native to Colorado and Washington.
Yeah, exactly.
It's forgettable. It can learn Defog. Yeah.
It's just I think that's probably the only way to go with it is to run Defog on it. It does have access to Storm Drain as an ability, which is awesome because that gives it immunity to water type moves and at the same time boosts its special attack when it comes in on a water type move. So that's really cool. I would say stick with Storm Drain. I would probably just try to bulk it up a little bit because you're not attacking with it and it's not very bulky, but you can run 252 HP and then probably max out its defense as well just to hopefully get somewhere there. Run Defog on it. I would say maybe a Bold Nature, just get those defenses up. Oh my gosh, the defenses are so bad.
Well, if you run Scald, you can hope you get the burn.
Yeah, no, I would definitely say run Scald, Defog. Those are like two things you have to have on one of these sets. You could get some bug type coverage, but bug is still not a very good type.
No.
You could try going for Signal Beam.
If you need speed control, it gets both
Tailwind
and Ice Wind. So.
I would even say go for some Tailwind. I mean, Tailwind's really a cool option there that you can go with, and then you could U-turn out and go into something else to take advantage of the Tailwind. I think that might be the way to go. And hold leftovers, just don't die. Like, that's Lumineon's, like, that's Lumineon's thing. Like, come in, get rid of these entry hazards, maybe set up Tailwind, and then just get out. You know? Those are your options there.
It's so sad.
It can bounce out
because it has bounce.
Yeah.
What is this Pokemon?
I don't know what this Pokemon is. I honestly don't.
It gets payback.
Whoa, its shiny's really cool, though. It's like a cool, like, goldish color.
No, I like blue over gold any day.
It's a cool... I mean, it's one of the better shinies. It's one of the better shinies, it's not puke green, and it's not pink.
Like, it's sand brown.
I'm cool with it. I'm down.
I'm not.
I'm down with it.
I really just don't have an opinion.
Go on to the what about the TCG section?
This Pokemon is so forgettable that it's even been forgotten in the current rotation. Literally only three cards has ever been printed for this card. And we're going to talk about the most recent one, which is the Phantom Forces Lumineon. And what else can I say other than it's just exactly what you expect from a Lumineon card? It has 80 HP for stage one. It has one attack, one colorless energy, Neon Sights. You can search your deck for up to two Pokemon, reveal them, and put them on your bench, on your hand, I'm sorry, which kind of allows you to get evolutions as well. And then it has one attack, Water Pulse, 30 damage, and your opponent active is now asleep. It is a nothing card. There's just nothing competitive about this.
Okay, so I was looking at the other cards, and I'm not going to say this one's much better, but it does look better. At least at a glance. The Lumineon from Stormfront, That's such an old set. That is the second most recent card. It has a pokey power. This is how far back we're going. Called Finluster. Once during your turn, if Lumineon is your active Pokemon, you may look at your opponent's hand. If your opponent's bench isn't full, choose one basic Pokemon from your opponent's hand and put it onto his or her bench. Then switch it with the defending Pokemon. This power can't be used if Lumineon's affected by a special condition, whatever, blah. But for no energy, it can do Quick Swim. For no energy, absolutely none. Where you're allowed to choose one of your opponent's Pokemon and do 20 damage to it for funsies. And then for one water energy, you can do Elegant Swim, which is flip a coin. If heads, prevent all attacks, all effects of attacks, including damage done to Lumineon during your opponent's next turn. Now, it'd be fun if this card was, like, still in rotation, because I feel like it could work really well with, like, Mega Alakazam or something. But with the Quick Swim, with not requiring energy.
I mean, I don't know where to start. I mean, yes.
Yeah, tell me why I'm wrong. Please.
No. You're not wrong in said that this is not exactly a bad card. The ability is actually pretty good. I was ignoring up to the part where it says you can switch it with the defending Pokemon. Mm-hmm. That's actually quite interesting. The problem is that you need to have this to be your active, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
What's the retreat cost on this?
None. Zero.
Oh, then it's not bad at all. It's actually not a bad card.
Also, the name of the Japanese set, as always, was much better. Instead of Stormfront in English, it was called Intense Fight in the Destroyed Sky. Can we just get these names? Can we get these names, please?
I don't know why they changed it. They're just so much awesome and in Japanese.
Yeah, right. All right. So that's Lumineon for you guys.
do you want trivia?
There's
it's actually good. Okay, so Finneon, Lumineon's pre-evolution, can learn Nature Power via TM in Generation 6. But Lumineon can't. It's like they forgot to let it learn this TM. So bad!
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just nuts.
Fun fact, though, if the theory that has been true before holds, that everything you see in the trailers in the Sun and Moon games is going to be in the Alola Pokédex, Lumineon is going to be in the Alolan Pokédex.
It's not completely forgotten.
I'm telling you now, if we get Lumineon and we don't get Whimsicott, there's gonna be bloodshed.
I mean. All right. Oh, so that is it for this episode of, or this poke of the episode. We are gonna switch on over, guys, to the mailbag. But before that, if you want to check out any more cool Pokemon trivia, check out thepucklepodcast.com, because that is where all of our writers are writing articles every week that have interesting Pokemon trivia. So check that out. Also, if you want to check out more about Lumineon, I think Sometimes I Fly will put something on the subreddit. So check that out.
If he doesn't forget.
If he doesn't forget, exactly. All right, so we are going to go right to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails. The mail's here. Check your inbox. It's time for the mailbag! Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. As always, the mailbag is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, for those of you who are new to the show, this is the segment where we read listener emails. You can send them in at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We typically have some kind of prompt. Last week it was jokingly, why Thatch sucks. And also I forgot to put a real one in, but I put one in the show notes, which was, what is your favorite ghost type Pokemon? It is the month of October, so it's the month of the ghost types. So let's dig on in then. Let's see. This is our first one is going to be from, Alice from Unova. So, greetings, Puckle. This is Alice with a new mailbag. My favorite ghost-type Pokemon is either Sableye or Rotom. Those two are two of my favorite Pokemon. My prediction for this upcoming meta is that it will be overrun with Dayform Megowl, which you will only get by evolving Nightform Dartrix in Pokemon Sun. Obviously, evolving Dayform Dartrix in Sun will give you a completely different Pokemon. In case it wasn't super obvious, my pet, super unlikely theory, is that each of the starters will have four possible stage twos. Is it a pipe dream? Yes. A good dream? Absolutely. From Midwest Unova, Alice. Have you guys heard that theory yet?
I've heard that supposedly there is a mechanic, evolution mechanic, that it's shared with the starters, with the, oh my god.
With Rockruff.
Yes, with Rockruff.
That all came from a slight mistranslation.
Did it?
Yeah, I mean, the Korokoro page said the starters, like Rockruff, have a secret. But it didn't say it was the same secret or that it was related to evolution.
That makes sense to me, though.
Okay.
So...
I can believe it was a translation issue. I was always of the mind that it didn't, like, I don't know the best way to put it, but that it wasn't that they were going to get two forms. That would make sense for starters.
Yeah, I mean, when we got the official Rockruff revelation about the midnight and midday form, I thought, if this was something that applied to the starters as well, we would have gotten the announcement for the starters. Because the starters are the things that most people are most hyped for.
Well, the starters aren't going to get that treatment, you know? It's, they're just not going to get that treatment because they're not going to reveal the final forms of the starters before the games drop. They didn't do that with Gen 6. They haven't done that before.
They haven't revealed more Pokemon. They're revealing so much stuff that I'm not even sure about that.
They haven't revealed more Pokemon than they did before X and Y. I mean, just to put that in
But X and Y context. Was terrible in that regard.
What do you mean?
We had nothing left.
Yeah, but they didn't give us the starter evolutions before the game came out.
I know, but I mean, there wasn't really much left to discover.
You could discover the starter evolutions, which is my point. That's my only point I'm trying to make.
But so going around back to the fact that they may have two evolutions each, I mean, why not? I think it would be interesting to have. Yeah, you chose Rowlet as your starter Pokemon, but hey, in the same line as Rowlet, you have two extra options. So it would create even more of a branch for you to say, hey, I want to restart this game, play it all over again with Rowlet again, just choosing the other evolution. Mm. I mean, I find it, I would be hyped, completely hyped on that. I just wish it wasn't like Rockruff where it's version exclusive. That's where I'm against. I don't want to have Rowlet from Sun and Moon to get the evolution I want. I just want it to be, hey, if you evolve it at night, you have one evolution. If you evolve it at day, you have another. Yeah. That's my only thing.
I'm really surprised at how they handled Rockruff, but we can move on. We can move on. I'm going to make Jushiro get this next one, though. So, wait, no. Jushiro, you get this next one.
From this
one? A Pinky's Bit Infernape.
Okay.
Insane Infernape.
So, hello, some. It's Pinky Bit Insane Infernape. Back for another mailbag answer of Questions Insanity. Upon listening to the mailbag segment of the podcast, at least three times I have concluded that the only proposed mailbag segment of this week was Tell Thatch Why He Sucks. I have no definitive answer for this, but I would assume it is because he is human. I can tell you right now he is not. But we will continue with the mail.
Nobody else puts out Pokemon content like I do, okay?
Humans suck because of their tendencies to kill and hurt people that look or act different, as well as trapping them and other sentient beings, like Thatch's opinion about Hawaii. However,
I didn't think that at all. I think he's referring to my cats.
Oh, yeah. However, it will be harder for us. For us Pokemon to organize an uprising with the introduction of pretty cool islands in the PC. Perhaps I've misinterpreted this, and you're asking why humans are able to suck. I would assume that the great god Arceus, now we know, envisioned this future where the use of straws is relatively widespread among humans, restaurants, and gave humans the ability to suck well in advance.
That's a good pun.
I hope I sufficiently answered the mailbag question in a way that doesn't sound, well, just a pinky beat crazy. I will now update you all on the quest to become a competitive, viable, and potentially continental winning Infernape. I figured I have three routes to becoming a world-renowned Pokemon: Pokken, TCG, and VCG. I'm not likely to get added to Pokken, but I maintain hope that someday I will be. In the TCG, I'm all right, but really, peaked back in Black and White Plasma Storm, so I will still be competitive in the VGC. What a lovely community it is when it isn't hating on firefighting types. Speaking of which, should Datrix evolve into a firefighting type, I will welcome him with open arms, as I suggest all of you do. He looks pretty intimidating. Anyway, that's a pinky beat insane Infernape signing off and realizing that the mailbag question was in the show notes. My favorite ghost type is Spirit Tom. Thanks, as always, for running a great podcast and providing high quality weekly entertainment.
Wonderful. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for writing in.
Right. And just to say, Infernape is one of my favorite starters.
Yeah. All right. So this next one is from Sometimes I Fly. I'm going to give that one to Fluffiest.
All right. Hello, Pog crew. It's Sometimes I Fly. I took a few weeks off, and boy, am I excited to be back. Before I begin, I would like to give a shout out to my new friend Archie. I really enjoyed our battle last week. I think the Generations tournament has been a great success, and it is only just getting started. A few weeks ago, Lilligant was the Pokemon of the episode, and I am glad it was featured because, as I mentioned in my Reddit article, Lilligant is awesome. Yes, it is. One thing I would like to highlight is that all of its dance moves have a potential for a jaw-droppingly talented double team with Oricorio and its ability Dancer. On to the mailbag, which is the reason I finally wrote in again, because Ghost is my favorite type. For the curse of a ghost, there is not a cure, so beware my mansion, fraught with chandelure. Make haste at the sound of a pump kaboo, or it will be a trap, or it will trap you forever with a choice scarf switcheroo. The halls are alight with Litwicks and Lampent. The garden is haunted by Phantom and Trevenant. Even the appliances are not safe from Roto, and the toy room is home to a shot-butt sitcom. But if you do manage to escape, you best escape far, because if you look to your shadow, you might see Dengar. I love
Bravo.
Good-hearted...
Bravo.
Bravo to Sometimes I Fly.
Yeah,
I love
really
good-hearted ghost stories, but I love them even more when I can make them about Pokemon. My favorite episode from the anime is when Ash goes to the tower to catch a ghost type to beat Sabrina and runs into Gengar, Haunter, and Gastly. My favorite Pokemon is Gengar. My other Galblish favorites are Bonette and Gorgeist. Even my excitement for Sun and Moon continues to build since all the new ghosts are full of character and I can't wait to have them on my team. Until next time, Sometimes I trick or treat away. Awesome.
That was a great email.
Yeah, that was. All right. So I'm not going to take this next one. I'm going to make Jushiro do it because it is from Dennis, the DDG maniac.
Hey, my brother from the same island. Hi, Patch and co-host. How are you guys been? Is this I, Dennis the DG Maniac, ready for a great Ghost and Dark Pokemon month? I'm sure am. Also, the Darkrai code is Darkrai20?
Yeah, it's Darkrai20. So, like, if you haven't gotten the Darkrai from, like, the GameStop event, you can still get it by downloading it with that code.
Oh, that's nice. That's awesome.
I did that just the other day.
Also, I'm going to riot if the starters are like Ruckruff and if Litten Last Evolution is firefighting. I will burn in never-ending rage. Favorite ghost? That's a silly question and a simple answer. I love them all. But I will mention some of my VGC MVPs. Dusclops, Cofagrigus, Binette, and Gengar. And my new baby, Mimikyu. Well, that is all. Spook you all next time. Sent from my ghostly partner, Grotum Dex.
Oh, Dennis. Man. Oh, yeah. So, have you guys seen the leaks or the Chinese? I'm going to put leaks in quotes of the starter evolutions.
I've seen one of them fully, one of them kind of, and I always try to look away from Rowlet because I think they are real and I don't want to be fully spoiled.
I don't think they're real. I'm like 50% though right now.
I am like 99% sure they are real for two reasons.
Okay, go for it.
One, you told me Mallow was like vaguely similar. No, it is absolutely Mallow in the
picture. I'm staying vaguely. I'm still a fan.
No, 100% Mallow. And second, if you now that we have the first stage evolutions, you can see elements of the design of the second stage evolution inside the second stage evolution.
I don't that he loses his tie. It doesn't work.
The tie becomes the hood.
I don't like it. Yep. It doesn't make sense. He needs to keep the bow tie.
Litten's evolution.
It's a wrestler. It's fine.
No. I mean the middle one. What's the name?
Toracat. Toracat does have an affinity to kick and punch people, and that's the only reason I think it's real.
And its paws, its little legs are pretty buffed.
The symbol that Litten has on its forehead, it is repeated all over the evolution line. Mm-hmm. It's like on the final evolution's back and chest, and everything lines up perfectly. Like, look at Dartrix. Dartrix has those two little arrow point thingy on its wing.
You're right.
It lines up too perfectly. Like, if you jump from the unevolved starters to the ones in the leaks, you can have a lot of doubt. I'll give you that. But if you put the first stage evolution in the middle, it lines up too perfectly. I am sure they are real.
We'll see in a month.
But it's going to be okay, because there's going to be a secondary evolution for each one, and that's going to be the surprise.
I mean, I hope so, because I was really hyped for Litten after...
I'm hoping the surprise is that they used all of those Pokemon to make type null.
Yeah, that was a good theory, too.
I also... someone mentioned that in Reddit, because people are looking at the evolution for Litten, and it's like, obviously, it has to be a firefighting. But someone came up with a good explanation in Reddit.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Keep going.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a firefighting. Maybe it's a fire dark because it's a wrestler, but it obviously looks like a bad wrestler. So it's a heel wrestler, which are the bad guys in wrestling. So that would make it, that could be a perfect excuse for making it fire dark instead of firefighting.
Also, they have to know at this point, if they make it firefighting, they're going to have like a riot. Like, you can't have another firefighting starter. But okay, we'll keep going here. I want to see Popplio go fire or water fairy. I want to see that.
I hope so too. Yeah.
But yeah, here we go. So this next one is from, or this last one for today. We're going to wrap it up here. We're going to go here with, from Agent Damien. Hey, Puckle, I never stopped to consider which ghost type would be my favorite. I really like Mimikyu, but I suppose I have to say my favorite is Honedge. His Pokedex entry is like something out of a creepy fanfic. It reads, apparently this Pokemon is born when a departed spirit inhabits a sword. It attaches itself to people and drinks their life force. I find something sinister and appealing about it. Maybe one day I can come back as a ghost sword that tricks people into picking me up and drink their life force. More appetizing than a green Tauros. Cough, cough, hint, hint. As for competitive play, Honedge's evolution, Aegislash, is pretty awesome, and I got to see some time on my team a couple years ago. Well, I better get back to work. I wouldn't want the boss to think I was leaking top secret Team Rocket intel. Catch you on the flip-flop. Agent Damien, Team Rocket operative, Viridian Gym R&D, 1 Viridian Way, Viridian City, Kanto Region, 1-800-EVIL-ORG, Extension 6. P.S. I will be at VGC Regionals in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Athens, Georgia, Collinsville, Illinois. I'll be at that one with Bo, actually, and Misty. Roanoke, Virginia. There's like a 50% chance I'll be at that one. And of course, Nationals, which we may all be at. I don't know yet. We haven't decided PuckleCon plans yet.
Because we have no idea when Nationals will be.
We don't know what Nationals is. And if Nationals
also because there's no Nationals anymore. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, okay. But the International Challenge. Yeah.
The Continental,
if there's an international challenge that, so like, there's some problems. Like, if it's the same weekend I think it's gonna be, there's like a 50% chance, like, I won't be in town. Or I won't be in town until like the Friday night or something like that. And
it's okay. I will hang with Misty. You're boring anyway.
We're all gonna go see to see Watson anyway.
I don't really think that, but I do love Misty, and this was the worst patch emails. So.
Oh man. So yeah, that there's some issues with Puckle. We'll find out when PuckleCon is this year. We're gonna once the international's announced, we'll have a conversation about it. So as for that though, that is that the mailbag this week. So first of all, Green Taurus badge, I want to give it to Agent Damien, mostly because he dropped the hint.
The address.
And the address is just amazing. So
yeah.
There you go, Agent Damien. You get the Green Taurus badge. Submit for it on the website. In addition, if you guys want to email in next week at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, you can answer the question, what Pokemon have you forgotten about? Any Pokemon, doesn't need to be Gen 7. So send that in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Further, as always, if you could follow us on social media at Puckle Podcast on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/pucklepodcast. Tumble with us on Tumblr at pucklepodcast.tumblr.com. And also check out our subreddit, because that's where everybody's doing awesome things, including Sometimes I Fly. So check that out, r/puckle. Of course, follow us on Twitch, because we're going to be streaming some Sun and Moon, you can believe it. You can follow us at The Puckle Podcast. The is very important. It's twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. In addition, if you could review us on iTunes, that would be great. Snag would really like to do his show, and we would need 250 iTunes reviews to do it. Currently, as I said, we are sitting at 226. Let me click the update, make sure that that is not a lie. I am 100% right. All right, so we need 24 more iTunes reviews to get there, so please do it, guys. And we'll put out that fourth monthly show for you.
And I want to butt in to do a shameless plug, and please go listen to our TCG cast, Puckle TCG cast.
Oh, absolutely.
This month.
That's going
to
happen anyway.
And please go to the survey. We hate to repeat the same thing over and over. But,
oh, no, we have to do the survey.
Yeah, if you go to the survey, there's a section dedicated to our monthly shows. And if you want more TCG cast, please, that's the way you can convince our boss here to let us do a second episode every month and have it do bi-weekly instead of once a month. So please go there, survey, give us your absolutely honest
please do. Comments
review.
Are very welcome.
Yeah,
and
comments. If there's something you don't like, let us know so maybe we can change it. And if it's something that you really want in the show, also let us know.
Yeah, and of course, listeners. as always, comments, please do comments. That's pucklepodcast.com/survey. And if you do fill it out, you are entered into a chance to win some kind of prize. We'll probably announce it next week so we have a better idea. So, I mean, if that's what's making you wait, I'd say still go do it, because we might close it before then if we hit the number we're looking for. So,
and you have to hurry for two reasons. One is he may close it before, and two, you have to understand, in the radio tower, there are two locked rooms. They hold Snag and Jushiro. The door to Jushiro's room is fed with tokens made from printed out Puckle surveys and comments about the TCG cast, and the one that opens Snag's room is made from iTunes reviews. No, iTunes reviews tokens. And in order to liberate them, we have to feed Enot tokens through those doors. And I didn't see a window there.
There's none. And he only lets me out once a month to go take a train all the way over to Goldenrod City, record the TCJ cast, and immediately have to get a train back into this room.
Right now, they are only alive because my Whimsicott has been using its infiltrating abilities to sneak under the door and bring them berries. But the berries get squashed because they are not as flexible as the Whimsicott. Please save these poor souls.
I need solids in my body.
All right, guys. So as always, thank you for listening. That has been our show this week. So I am Trainer Thatch.
I am the fluffiest Whimsicott.
And I'm Lord Jishiro.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
No, please let me out.
I'll see you next month, Yashiro.
No, wait.
Fill out the survey, funkopodcast.com/survey.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.